So we have a mission to finish this, and I think by next week we'll be done. We have a lot of scripture to cover, so we're going to get through it as quick and painlessly as possible. But we're still, and I don't know if you've been listening online, Clara, but we're talking about Christianity in America. We're tackling a tough subject. Your old boy is right. Because as I started this off, I told everybody about how it's actually declining in America because Christianity is not popular anymore. Considering it dropped in like, 12%? I think the number was, it dropped 12% in 10 years. So we're becoming less and less popular. And so it's important that we respond to that, because it's not okay to just stand there and accept it and go, okay, well, this is where we are, so I'm just going to take it and, you know, that's it. That's fine. If you want to get prepped up and started, you can turn to Joshua. He's not here, so you have to find him in the Bible. And while you're turning to Joshua, I got some things to share. So, I'll get there in a minute. In America today, and the topic of today is history. We have a problem in this country today because history itself is being erased and rewritten right before your very eyes. If you're not aware, you can turn on the news. You can see it's happening right now. They're literally tearing down statues that earmark and show monumental positions and points in our history. The history books have been getting changed and rewritten since I was in school. So that's not news. But there's an importance in what we have in our history, not just in American history, but also in who we are as believers. And if we don't take and recognize the importance of it, what happens, right? We think that history is documented and this is what's being perpetrated right now, as though this is some great accomplishment in our society, right? Like Abraham Lincoln, Emancipation Proclamation. That is an important moment in American history. Yet it's being torn down because it has to do as some great accomplishment of white versus black slavery and this stuff that's going on. No. That's incorrect. Why does that exist? Why are these things around? What is the importance of it? It's so that we do not repeat our mistakes. Right? History is documented and recorded so we do not repeat the same mistakes. Well, what do we do? Well, we have that in America. We have, you know, all the stuff that's going on here. But what about Christianity? Where's the history documented for all our Christianity? Does anybody know? Got your history book? This is your history book. Okay? How do we prevent repeating the same mistakes of all our brothers and sisters that came before us if we don't find out what they did right and what they did wrong? What does history promote? What does history give us? I'll give you the word. It gives you values. And without values, what do you think happens? Without our American core values, you can go outside and take a look at what happens when those values are being sabotaged and destroyed. Okay? What happens to Christians when those values are not implemented? What does values give us? Well, we know what values promote. So what's the opposition or the American side of it now is ignorance. And as you so eloquently could hear from people all the time, ignorance is bliss. Because you can be ignorant to everything that's going on in the world and not pay any mind to it, and it just passes you by. But if you don't do something about it, you cannot say at the end, well, I don't like this. Well, you voted to opt out. So you don't get a choice anymore. You've given up that privilege. Believe it or not, America is 244 years old this July. On the 4th of July. We'll be 244 years old. It's pretty cool when you think about it. There are a lot of moments in those 244 years that make up our history. Some were good, some were bad. You have wars that happen, revolutionary, civil, some world wars, political wars like, you know, the Gulf War. You have laws that were created, voting laws, women have the right to vote. Come on, sisters, right? Anti-segregation laws, abolishment of slavery, even some equality and rights laws. And we have some specific events that happened. I'm only going to highlight a few, but the moon landing came to mind, 9/11, Watergate, Wright Brothers' first flight. These are things that happened over a course of 244 years. It's pretty awesome when you look back at our history as America, right? Most of these things are transcribed in a literary document or a literary form. Some of them were videoed. Some of them were enshrined in some sort of statue or monument, right? But the purpose is that we learn from where we came from so that we do not stubbornly return to the things that we fought to establish. Think about that. Because what will happen is we will. That is going to happen. And what's happening today is that you have a cancel culture that wants to erase these things that happen. And I bar to ask the question, why do you think that is? Let's go to Joshua. You got me there, Dill? Joshua. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which we talked about earlier, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. This was done practically right there in Joshua. We have a monument that was erected and created for a purpose, and that purpose was to do what? To let everybody know what God had accomplished through his people. That God has done this great and wonderful thing. When we look at the monuments and the things that we have erected over the course of our American culture and our citizenry as America, those things were created to show not just the great accomplishments of what America has done, but to remember what happened on this very day, on this very moment. I'm telling you right now, they want to make you forget 9/11 happened. Why? Why is it important for them to erase this moment in history? There's a very, very deep message here, and I think you guys need to hear more. So let's go there. Isaiah 56, 10 through 12. Go ahead, Dill. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain, from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. Do you understand what's actually happening in those verses? Remember that ignorance is bliss? I present that to you. Why do people in power and other groups and programs want to cancel out our history? Why do they want to do it? Because here's the reason why. If we are ignorant, then they can rewrite a history that benefits their slothfulness, their own idolatry, their own greed, their own selfish nature, and their ambition. And here's the part. Why do people back it? Because if one person jumped up and said, I'm going to rewrite history and I'm going to rewrite it so that everything is just easier and simpler for us and we don't have to do that, why doesn't it work if one person does it? Because he won't get supported. He won't get backed. But he preaches a message. And by the way, if you don't, you can put a he or she or label this person. You could get an image in your head of who this individual is right now. And you could think that's who it is, and that's fine. You want to put a figure there, that's fine. Be understanding, this is not a person. This is the evil one. It is his divisive work to try and sabotage and destroy something that God established 244 years ago in this country. Freedom and things of that nature that this country was established on, he doesn't like. He doesn't like the fact that you're free. He doesn't want you free. He wants you in bondage. Why does it happen? Because people subscribe to it because they don't want to do the work it takes to keep these things that are established alive. It takes work to fight for your freedom. It takes work to fight to keep those things in place. Why? Because they're easy to tear down. They're not easy to erect. Think about how much work it took for somebody to erect a monument. How much hard blood, sweat, and tears that individual or individuals poured in to creating that statue. How easy did it come down? It takes a lot more work to build something up than it does to tear it down. How does this happen? Well, it starts because of us. I can only blame the responsibility where it falls, right? It falls on us. Not just us generally as the church or the body of Christ, but it falls on us as parents. It falls on us as elders. It falls on us as those who have the capability and the ability to speak to the younger generation. It's birthed from a culture that has been created centered on selfishness and self-centeredness. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody's a winner. We chase this American dream, but now it becomes at the expense of somebody else. You can have everything you want. He's going to foot the bill. Am I lying? How many people pay their taxes? Make sure you thank those that don't, because you're doing all the hard work for them. It's a scary world we're coming into, is it not? As believers in Christ, we cannot align with the new America that's being rewritten. For starters, we're not welcomed in it. Let's be factual. Literally, I'm not lying to you. You're not welcome in the new America they want to write. Your voice is not accepted. The religious freedom that we have is going to be attacked, and actually, it already is being attacked. If you're not aware of this, there have been new things that have happened in lieu of all of this stuff that's been going on. In the confusion, they've thrown some other nice live hand grenades to attack your religious freedom. Even though our founding fathers fled to this place because of religious persecution, because we are eliminating this history, we are heading into that exact direction of being persecuted yet again. It's coming. Just be prepared. It's happening. It's coming. But it's not going to be this time at the hands of a king, but rather the people themselves, a fallen generation, a generation that could, if we have done our job, change the course. Is it too late? Is it too late? It's not. It's not too late. It is not too late. So I'm not here today preaching a message that has no hope in it. I'm preaching a message to you that has tons of hope in it, because it is not too late. We have a charge, and that charge starts in Colossians. So let's go there. Colossians chapter 2. Some of you may already know this. When you're there, you can put your hand up. And this is verses 16 through 23. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from which all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you have died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which will perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. What does this mean? First of all, if you read that and you understand based on the context of what we're coming from, this is about us being under attack, folks. What the enemy wants to do is when he wants to rob you of what is rightfully yours. Everything that you have and you possess and that God gives to you and promises to you, you already have. It's in your grasp. And what the enemy wants to do is take it out of your hands before you get the chance to use it. Because the second you start using what God has given to you, what happens to him? He's got no power, right? If you wield the power and he takes it out of your hands, who has the power now? You've given it to him. And here's the thing. It's not obtained through a worldly standard. We cannot obtain the things of God by following the regulations and the rules that the world sets for you. They don't align. Okay? Yes, we live here in this world, but we don't live according to the world's standards. We live to a higher call. We operate in a spiritual realm, right? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the oneness and the connection and how all these things flow and operate through us, right? Does that happen because you did some rules and regulations that the world set? Do you speak in tongues because the world set a standard on a language and how you need to learn this language? I'm sorry, I don't see a Rosetta Stone app that I can go and figure out how to speak in tongues. You can't. It never could. It couldn't if they wanted to. You can't regulate God. Yet people try to. You can't. You can't regulate the things of God. You cannot regulate his blessings. You cannot regulate the comings and goings. You cannot tell him where to go. You can't tell him where to stand. You can't tell him how to operate. Right? So if we understand that the things of God are operating in a realm that we have to submit to, and it doesn't abide by the rules and the laws that man sets, then why do we continue to try to make it fit? Why do we continue to try to make it all gel together? It's never going to happen. How can I say that? Galatians 5:25. What's it say, Galatians 5:25? We live in the Spirit, therefore let us also walk in the Spirit. You cannot do one in the other realm. It doesn't work. I can't do the things of the Spirit while following the laws of the world. Because everything that the laws of the world are going to try to tell me to do is in what? My physical flesh. It's going to try to tell me how to do it according to the physical realm and the physical reality that surrounds me. But that's not going to happen when we move the things that God is telling us to do. We can't. So if we're submitted to God and we're submitted to moving in His Spirit, then we're going to break some rules. But what is being attacked in the end, and this is key, and I want you guys, and you two are probably going to get a little bit of a deeper message from this, but what's under attack, you might think it's a personal attack. You might be thinking, oh, well, they're trying to come against my freedoms and my privileges and my rights, right? Oh, they're trying to tell me how I need to live my life. You know, I love the complaints I get from people that their taxes go up. Oh, they just want to take it and put it into more of these programs and blah, 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 blah. And all I'm doing is funding bailouts for all these people that don't want to do their jobs. You know, all that's true. Maybe it is. And maybe you're just complaining to the complaint department that doesn't have a box. But that's not what's under attack. Your finances aren't under attack. Your freedoms aren't under attack. All that's not under attack. The wisdom of God is under attack. Hear me. The wisdom of God is under attack. And why is that so relevant and important? Because he wants to have us dumb and confused and not knowing the things that God has said and expresses to his people. Because if he can keep you in that state, then he can keep you inoperative. Let's go on. Psalm 78, 1 through 8. Again, this is charge. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Listen, you have been given good things from your father. And I'm not just talking about your heavenly father. I'm talking about the man that's sitting in the back. But he's done his time. What are you doing with what he's given to you? I'm not exalting man here. I'm exalting a vessel that poured out the things of God in an abundant form for us to do something with it. Not to just squander it and squelch it and do nothing with it. Where am I going? Let's keep going, because you might not know. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. We have a responsibility. We have been given the things of God, and we've been told how to go to the Father to obtain even greater things of God so that we can go and do what with it? Do those things so that we can go and tell, just like Joshua had, those 12 tribes erect that monument that God has done this great and wonderful thing in my life to your kids and your kids and your kids. So that when they grow up in the Lord, they will do even greater things. It's not going to stop. It's only going to stop because we stop it. God isn't going to stop moving because he's not happy or he's not satisfied or he's done. No, he's not done until we're out. But what we have a responsibility to do is to continue to pass this history book on to the next generation and grow it. And grow his renown and grow his name so that when our kids grow up, they have something greater to accomplish. If we set the bar so low, they're going to get bored. They're not going to be interested in the things of God because God's not exciting. How exciting is God in your house? How exciting are the things of God in your house? Are you making God's renown so profound that your kids are invited to be excited about the things of God with you? This is what this is talking about. Our history, this book, doesn't do anything sitting on a table and growing mold. It doesn't do anything if you don't implement it. And when we start implementing God's history into our life, we start recreating it. Right here, right now, the things of God start to come up out of our life. He starts to make this living and breathing and operational in our life so that more things of God come out of us. When that happens, what happens? Do we not change our environment? Do we not change the realm of this world around us? We do. Because the laws of man are not going to keep the hand of God from moving. And if you go and move in faith and you move in the might of God, yeah, you're going to speak to that mountain being moved in Jesus' name. And they're going to watch a mountain monumentally move before their eyes going, what magic are you performing? They'll start calling you David Blaine, thinking they're funny. No, it's not a joke. God wants to do great and wonderful things. But in reality, are we doing it for them? No. Who are we doing it for? Go ahead. There's more, right, Dale? That wasn't there 8, verse 8? Yeah, okay, thank you. So 5 through, yeah, you got to go through 5. So for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That was a commandment from God. Listen, guys, it's not me telling you that this is what you should be doing. This is what God says that we need to do. It's our responsibility. That the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare to them, to their children. So we're talking about not just Charlotte and Josh and Trin and Ian and Dill and Icarus and Nolan and Maddie and Kenzie. I can't give them you all of yours. I'll be here for too long. But your newest addition even. Their kids. You sit and you think about your responsibility to your kids. What about your responsibility to your kids that aren't even here yet? Do you have the faith and the belief to understand that your kids are going to produce another generation, that they're going to have that responsibility come from you? Think about what he just said. That responsibility comes from you. You set that tone because you have Jesus in you and you know the plans and the works that God has created for you. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Have you started or are you waiting for your grandkids to pick up your axe and move your plow? Why are we waiting to put all the burden on our grandkids and expect them to do not just the work of you, but the work of their parents because you didn't do your job with the first? I'm sorry, I know, I don't have kids. So this might come off real harsh and from a point where I'm out of line because, oh, well, you don't understand, you don't have kids. I don't need to understand because I don't have kids. That's all I need to understand is the word of God. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. I don't want that. I don't want that because I love your kids. That's the kids that I have. See, I might not had to give Jesse and I might not have to procreate and give birth to actual kids, but you guys, your kids are our kids. Because when I come and we speak to your kids and we pour out into your kids' life and we pour into your life, that's our involvement in your kids. And that's how genuinely we care because that generation, I don't want that to be their future. This right here isn't talking about you guys because you're the grandfathers and grandmothers. That's talking about the fathers. That means your kids right here, right now. Because their kids are going to look at them and it's either going to be one of two. It's either going to be that or it's going to be the previous. History is important. Our history in this book is important. Are we Acts 29? Or we haven't even gotten there yet? This is our response to this takeover, guys. We need to tell our children the history of God and his nation. Not just one or the other, but both. It's not hard. We have to also tell them the good and the bad and the ugly. We have to give them the full story. Don't cut out the details. If you made mistakes in your life, tell your kids your mistakes so they don't repeat them. Tell them where you missed God. It's okay. Don't be ashamed, but tell them how you got back on track. Tell them how God redeemed you. Tell them how God brought all of these good and wonderful things to fruition because you remained faithful. Show them the things that God has provided for your family and your household. Do you keep records of all the things that God has done? Do you? Do you keep track of how God has done these great and wonderful things in your life? To tell your kids so they can tell your grandkids? One of the things I love that I came into, I married into this, is how Jesse's grandmother and grandfather and the house that we currently live in is a product of their two hands after their house burnt down. Think about that. And that's a blessing that I do not take for granted because there are two people that didn't even know who I was. Because I wasn't even a twinkle in her eye yet. And they were building something for us. What are you building for your kids and their kids? We need to make known God's plan and purpose for us and all of his people. We need to keep pressing into it so that it goes to that next generation. We need to not just sit and focus on us and what God's doing in us and what he wants to do with us. It goes beyond you and I and us. God just showed me something. We're talking about we, right? Remember we were talking about we? We, that oneness. Think about we and oneness when you sit with your kids. Think about we and oneness when you sit with your kids. Are you one with your kids? Or are you at odds with your kids? I'm just giving you what God just showed me. Look, I'm not making excuses. I know I can sit on this platform right here and go, I can definitely go at this point, I don't understand because I don't have kids. I can say that. But at the same time, I'm not going to not say what God said. Okay? We have a lot of kids, Jesse. The generations to follow need us to rise up and fight. And I mean that with all intensity and seriousness. And it's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's a battle against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. If you're not aware of what's happening, if your kids go to a public school, God bless your heart. Because you are a soldier for Christ for teaching your kids and not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. She's going to be teaching forever and ever and ever. But think about it. If your kids are going to a public school and your kids are being fed and indoctrinated from whatever that school teaches, and I know there are people here that are already fighting battles in their kids' lives, fighting hard battles in their kids' life, because what did the enemy do? The enemy got in their head and took and built a stronghold. And it is not going to come down because of their will and their might. It's going to come down because you want to fight for them. It's going to come down because you're going to start on your knees. You're going to rise up with your sword and your shield in hand, and you're going to slay those demonic forces and tear down those strongholds in Jesus' name. That's how we get our generation back. It isn't going to happen because we just sit around and play church and think, oh, well, if we bring them, they're going to figure it out. I figured it out. No, they're waiting for you to show them how to figure it out. They're waiting for you to lead them. I'm calling out the guys now. It's our job to lead our kids. It is our job. I appreciate all the moms. I do. I appreciate you guys. You guys are rock stars because you've been not just leading in the absence of the weak male that doesn't want to take his rightful spot and lead his family, but you've been doing everything else that God's been telling you to do too. And man, you guys must be tired. But it is our job as men to lead you all, our kids and our spouses. It's our job. And we cannot just go and beat our chest and go, well, this is what it is. That's not a man. That's a weak male who's just having a temper tantrum. A real man leads because he consults with his spouse. He leads because he works with his children. He leads because he demonstrates the realities of God every day in his life. And he walks out in them every day. He lives it at work. He lives it at home. It doesn't change. It doesn't waver. It stays the same. They're consistent. They have integrity. It's not even in my word. If we do nothing and sit idly by and think that this is another person's task to handle, and what you do not understand is who and to whom you belong. If you're waiting for somebody else to pick up your plow, nobody else is going to pick it up. You belong to Christ. Christ has given you that task. It's your job to push it. And if you don't push it, your grandkids are going to be pushing it. And it's going to be a lot heavier. If it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, then I dare say this is most certainly all of our task. They will not know if we don't speak up. They won't know. If we don't speak up, they will not know. But I'm going to set an expectation for this church, for every single person who's sitting here right now. You're here for a reason, so I'm going to speak on behalf of all of you and set the expectation right here from the door. My expectation is that these individuals who are sitting here today will not be silent. You will not be silent. You will not be satisfied in sitting idly by and letting your kids go to the wayside so that your grandkids suffer the ultimate price. You will not be silent. Are you going to have an indignant anger, a spiritual anger inside of you to redeem not just your kids, but your grandkids? Because now's the time to do it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it now. How do we do this? What's the challenge today? We need to be informed on truth. We need to know God's truth, and we need to know the truth of our history. We need to know. Not just know it a little bit, but know it intimately. And we need to know it before it becomes too late, because if you think there's a time strain and you have another day, you have another time, I can wait 4 years from now to have this conversation with my 9-year-old, you might not have it. You better start having that conversation now. Well, a 9-year-old won't understand. Help them understand. Work with them so that they understand. God didn't look at children and go, they don't know anything. He looked at children and told us we need to start learning how to be like them. How we have fallen because we treat children as though they don't know anything when they are the wonderful, perfect vessel to receive everything you have. Because of their innocence and how they think and how they move, God is caring and looking after your children. You can't screw them up. You can't. Listen, guys, you can't screw them up, but if you don't do something, the enemy will. They're either going to be filled with one of two spirits. They're either going to be filled with the spirit of God, or they're going to be filled with the spirit of the enemy. You have a choice to play in it. You have a role. What are you going to choose? Let's not take for granted all the technology and the resources that surround us. If you do, you're putting way too much faith in man and not enough faith in God. You need to trust and hold on to the hope of glory that is in Christ Jesus. You need to trust and account everything that he has written. You need to trust in the word of the Lord. You need to trust in those who are around you that can provide wealth of knowledge and wisdom and encouragement and resources to get you to where you need to go. It's not okay to say, oh, I didn't know. You're here. You know. What say you? And above all that, in the end, you're accountable for one major part in this. Write it down. Write it down. But don't write it down for you. Write it down for them. Write it down so that they know the history of God in their life. They know that on this day, on this time, God was given to me. On this day, on this time, I was spoken this word. On this day, on this time, God prophesied over me this. God gave me this. God showed me that. God gave me these things. As God is unlocking things in your kid's life, document it. Because guess what the enemy's going to want to do? He's going to want to later on throw this hand grenade in your kid's life and make them think they don't have. And you're going to go, no, 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 no. God did this for you back when you were 6. You don't have that problem. God took care of that in Jesus' name. It's about time we start doing our job and providing what needs to be done, what history is about, what the real history we have is for. It's for us to continue to readdress it from generation to generation to generation and not sit idly by, because when you sit idly by, this is what you get. You get a world in torment and havoc and chaos. The enemy's playground. And the reality of it is this is a coming soon attraction for what's going to be entering into the Church of Jesus Christ if we don't start passing on these things to our kids and our grandkids. Are we in this together, church? Am I out of line? Do you want to beat me up in the parking lot? That's okay. You can. He fights my battles. You'd just be boxing with God at that point. Amen? Amen. So, Father, Lord, we release each of our parents, God. We release them to move in a new power and a new might, God, to empower their kids and look to the future, to their grandkids. As they speak the things of God into their kids' life, God, they are looking to the future, God. They have the faith to believe and understand that their kids and their grandkids are going to move these things of God even further than they. But it's our responsibility to start that track and start moving in that direction. So, Father, continue to remove all of the stuff, the worldliness, the ugliness, the things that have mucked up our life, God. Cast it to the side and continue to show us, reveal the true nature of your word, your deeper revelation, God, for each family, individually, God, as you have given each of us, God, a purpose and a plan. We're not all eyeballs. We all have a part to play. We're all part of the body of Christ. So as you've given us this charge and you've led us and you've given us these directions, God, let us follow them. Let us be faithful, God, because it matters not just for us here right now, but it matters for the generations to come. Let us be good stewards. Let us be found faithful in your fields, God. And let us continue to sow that seed into the next generation. Allow this word today, Father, to find fertile soil in our hearts and let it be grown into a monumental tree, God, that will continue to provide not just for this generation, but the generations to come. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you